Lord God, help us today to be big-eared, Lord, to really listen to you, that we would hear what you say to us today, and help us to be soft-hearted, that we would live out your desire for us, that we would bear much fruit and glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, work in us, soften our soil, so that we might hear today. Amen. Well, last week we looked at the parable of the sower and we saw repeatedly that we were called to listen. God had something to say to us through the Lord Jesus. And we were called to listen, something we need to hear. He was going to sow. Jesus was sowing God's word in us so that we in turn might sow that in others, that we would be fruitful. He wants the crowds to listen to him and he wants us to listen to him. He wants us to be big-eared. That's what my ears naturally look like. I just put a cap on it. You know, when I first joined the church, I was amazed at the way you could talk to someone about something and they would just go and open up a Bible to the right page and point to a passage and show you what it said. That absolutely blew me away, that people would know their Bibles well enough to do that. But what is even more impressive is when you see people who live it out. People who don't just know it, who can't just show you the passage, but people who model it. People who listen to Jesus and do what he says. I find that deeply impressive. When I was a student minister at Mosman, there were times when Vanessa and I would be invited to lunch with a parishioner. And frankly, it was at times like Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. There were moments we were invited to what looked like a show home with a harbour view to kill for. But then I do remember one particular place we're invited. It was in a gully in Mosman, so it didn't have a great harbour view. The family lived simple. They drove a simple car. They served in the church. They loved mission. They loved the Lord. That was deeply impressive because it was so countercultural. One of the most compelling witnesses for Christ is the person who listens and does. Right, the person who lives out what Jesus Christ calls us to do. He wants us to listen well because he has the words of life. He doesn't call us just to give us a ticket to eternity. He calls us to live out his way today. He calls us to listen so that we might live out these words. And we need to listen because Jesus is like a light in a dark room. He reveals things. And he's revealing something today that we need to know. And so from chapter 4, verse 21, I'm going to go back to the passage I skipped last week. I'm going to start there. But he describes his mission using the metaphor of light. So verse 21. He also said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed? Isn't it to be put on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden that will not be revealed, and nothing concealed that will not be brought to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." But the metaphor is straightforward, isn't it? I expect in your house, like mine, your light bulb is smack bang in the middle of your ceiling, and it gives light to the whole room. That if you do cover it, it's only with a light lampshade. You don't put a black box around it to seal in the light, because you want it to light things up. You want it to reveal what's in your room, particularly those of you with kids and Lego. You want to know. And Jesus' point is that he is revealing something to the people. They need to listen. And it's interesting because our English translation says a lamp. But in the text, Jesus describes the lamp. The lamp that reveals everything. And of course, he is that lamp. He is the one who reveals God to us. He's the one who reveals us to ourselves as well. Jesus is that lamp shining. I can't help but think of John's gospel in chapter 8, verse 12, when Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." He is the light who reveals all things. Imagine if you're in Kmart, Narella, and suddenly the power went out and the whole store went dark, pitch black. And then imagine, 30 seconds later, the lights come on. what would you see? I wonder how many people you'd see stuffing stuff in their shorts or pants, right? How many people going, oh, I'm not paying $3 when I can nick it, right? Jesus is a bit like that. He reveals everything. Like, he reveals us. But he also reveals the kingdom of God. And that's what he wants to do today. He wants to show us God's kingdom. And so we need to listen. And so again, just as I said last week, I want to encourage you, every time you open that word of God, whether it's here, whether it's in your growth group, whether it's at home with your family, I want you to approach that word with humility. I want you to think, God is speaking to me now. I need to listen. We need to go deep in God's word so that we would love him, that we would love and serve one another, and that we'd be on mission bearing fruit. Your fruitfulness as a Christian depends on how well you listen. So let's have a look at verse 24. He said to them, pay attention to what you hear. By the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and more will be added to you. For whoever has, more will be given to him. And whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Right? The way you listen impacts your life. Now, yesterday was a busy day for me, right? We had a breakfast here, the Share the Love breakfast. Then we were at Narellan Town Centre singing carols. I had an MRI in the afternoon. It was a big day. And when I got up in the morning, I was on church cleaning as well, so I knew I had to come and mop the foyer. And with such a busy day, if I was going to get the foyer mopped and dry before breakfast, because I didn't want people slipping over, then I knew I'd have to skip my quiet time in the morning to come and do it. Otherwise, I'd have to come and mop the foyer somewhere between 3 and 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I am not an afternoon person, right? For me, that's basically evening. Right? I'm gone by that point of time. When you have those kind of decisions, they shape your life. What you do in that moment shapes the person you are. Just like the food we eat shapes our appearance, whether you choose to read God's word in that moment or choose not to read God's word shapes the person you are today and the person you'll be tomorrow. So I want you to be big-eared. I want you to go deep in God's word. I want you to bring the fullest measure you can bring so that you get fat on God's word. I want you to bring the fullest measure and God will grant you even more. The more you lean into this word, the more he gives you. I think one of the greatest advantages of being the preacher in the room is that every week this word impacts me more than it does anyone else in the room. I spend a lot of time in this word each week, wrestling with it, and it shapes me. Every week I make little micro adjustments to my life on account of the things I'm preaching to you. Now, theologically, I know that I'm always good with God, right? Whether I'm stuck in sin or whether I've been liberated, I am always good with God because of what Jesus has done for me. But right now I feel so blessed by God. I'm in one of those lovely phases where as I read God's word, I feel him speaking deeply to me through it. And that's what I want for you. I want you to go deep so that you too will have more added to you. Because there's also a danger, isn't there? See the danger in this passage. If you're not listening, or if you're absent-mindedly just reading through the Bible to tick a box to say, yes, I've done the Bible in a year or 2 years or whatever it might be, there's a danger that you lose the little bit of what you've got. And what do you lose? What we heard last week. In the parable of the sower, you will bear no fruit. And I want you to be fruitful. Now, personally, I want to bear fruit. The last thing I want to do is live a fruitless life. Jesus made us to bear fruit. And so with that reminder in place, that little background really tapping into last week, let's move forward now and think about the kingdom of God. From verse 26, Jesus tells the crowd two parables about the kingdom of God. And they're similar, but not quite the same. There's two things we learn. The first thing we learn is that God is the one who grows his kingdom. Right? God grows his kingdom. The second thing is that however subtle it might look to us, God is growing his kingdom. Right? God's the one who grows, and God is growing. So let's look at the first parable, verse 26. The kingdom of God is like this, he said. A man scatters seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day. The seed sprouts and grows, although he doesn't know how. The soil produces a crop by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the full grain on the head. And as soon as the crop is ready, he sends for the sickle because the harvest has come. Right? Jesus is describing the kingdom of God. And he compares it to a crop. Now, if you think back to Jesus' opening words, the very first things he said in the Gospel of Mark, they were also about the kingdom of God, right? This is the big topic Jesus wants us to know about. Jesus is the king of the kingdom, and he's calling people into that kingdom. And so just as we saw last week, the man scatters seed, just like Jesus speaking. Jesus speaks about the word, speaks the word about God's kingdom and calls people to listen. And then here Jesus describes what happens when they do. Now, friends, let me tell you the greatest miracle. If you think through the Bible, I just want you to think for a moment. What do you think is the greatest miracle in the Bible? There's some great ones, right? And preaching liberty, right? I may have missed one. But I reckon it's conversion. Every time a person is moved from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light is an absolute miracle. And it's difficult for us to see, isn't it? You can come here week by week and you look the same as you did last week. Maybe like me, you just get a really rough haircut, I don't know. But you look the same. But internally you are modified, you are different. You've been transferred from one kingdom to another. And God's Spirit is at work through his word, bringing us into his kingdom. And this kingdom is growing one person at a time. You know, it's no doubt that the best part of my role is seeing people come to Christ. It is marvelous when you see someone move from a kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And the second greatest thing is watching people grow. When people actually really commit to God, when they love him, when they serve him, when they devote themselves to him. It's like the joy of a mum holding a new baby, seeing new birth, new life. It's marvelous. And it is such a privilege being a co-worker with God as he does all the heavy lifting. Right, that's what this parable is saying. God's the one who grows it. The farmer's got no idea what's going on. Right, the farmer throws some seed in the ground, maybe waters it, puts manure on it, I don't know. But they don't know what's going on. God's the one growing his kingdom. And that's how the church works. It is God's work. So the sower sows, but God grows. Now there is a little bit of debate about the last parable. Is verse 29 talking about the end times when God gathers people into eternity, or is it talking about today, the period of the church as God gathers people into the church? I just want to say, friends, it doesn't matter because the point's the same. God is growing his church. What God gathers his people. But this work can appear to be quite subtle. So let's jump on to verse 30. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable can we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed that when sown upon the soil is the smallest of all the seeds on the ground. And when sown, it comes up and grows taller than all the garden plants and produces large branches so the birds of the sky can nest in its shade. Now, there's a couple of things here that might distract us. Okay, so I want to deal with the distractions first. Now, mustard seeds are very small. Right? They range from about 1 millimetre to 2.5 millimetres in diameter. Right? You've seen a jar of mustard seeds. But they aren't the smallest of seeds, right? The smallest of all seeds is the jewel orchid, which is about 1/20th the size of a mustard seed. And then, of course, mustard seeds are technically classified as a herb, not as a tree. But if Jesus had said the kingdom of God is like a jewel orchid seed, which can grow up to 60 centimetres, no one would have been impressed or probably even known what he was talking about. Or if in turn Jesus had said the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed that grows into a moderately large herb, it would have diminished the parable. Mark wouldn't have bothered writing that one down. Mark would have said, yeah, that one wasn't so good. But they knew what a mustard seed was. And they had seen mustard plants that can grow up to 6 metres in height. So they get the parable. See, Jesus' point, it's not about a botanical textbook. Right? He's not telling us about mustard seeds because we need to know about that. He's telling us about the kingdom of God. Now, I want to encourage you with this. I hope this encourages you. God is at work today growing his church. Today, just in Sydney Anglican churches, there'll be about 48,000 people meeting together. Of course, in Nigeria, there's about 20 million Anglicans meeting today. And of course, there are other denominations. Right? There are a whole bunch of people, a whole bunch of churches all over the globe. Where did these people come from? They came through God growing his church, one person at a time. Right? He's still active. He's still at work. In that moment, Jesus said to people, listen. And you know what? Some of them did. Some of them listened and found life in Jesus. And even today, as that word was read out for us before, Jesus was inviting you to listen and find life. God is still growing his church, and it is one of his most inexplicable kindnesses that he uses us to do it. When you think of God and all the resources he's got available, and he says, oh, I'll use you guys to grow my church. Isn't that extraordinary? What a privilege. And so if God's talking about, is Jesus talking about God's kingdom here, and God is still growing this kingdom, and this tiny, insignificant kingdom that started with Jesus is today a worldwide church, what does that mean for us? Well, during the week, I was at the gym and talking to my mate, invited him to the Christmas services. And during that conversation, the strangest thing happened. He told me that his girlfriend came in the other day and recognised me and said I was her pastor. At which point I'm going, well, this is interesting. And then I said, well, what's her name? And he told me. And this girl used to come to church here about 8 years ago. I'm still her pastor, apparently, but anyway. About 8 years ago she came here. Why did she come here? Because her grandmum, who lived about 50 kilometres away, would drive here every Sunday to bring her grandchildren to church because she wanted them to hear the word. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, right now, under God, I have that opportunity to be an answer to that grandma's prayers. All those years of praying and working hard to bring her kids. And right now, God has said, hey, Jim, I'll throw you a line. What a privilege. What a privilege it is. Now, I don't know what's going to come of that conversation, but I do know it's a privilege. But here's the thing. God's kingdom sometimes feels insignificant. Might we look at our gathering here today compared to the number of people in the Rowland Town Centre at the moment? You think, yeah, we're pretty small, aren't we? Probably the number of people shoplifting in Kmart at the moment is probably bigger. But God is growing his church, and he will be glorified by his church. And that means I can boldly witness to him, not because I'm the best witness in the world, but because God is growing his church. And that's what I want for you. I want you to be confident, not in you, right? You think about yourself, think of all your weaknesses. That's only half of it, right? You're much worse than you think. But God is much greater. Right? God can overcome your weaknesses. He can use you to witness for him. And he will use you to grow his kingdom. As a result of what Jesus is saying, pray, because God's the one who grows his kingdom. Pray for those people you love, the people you meet. and speak. Because we have that enormous privilege of being used by God as he grows his kingdom for his glory. So I'm going to pray for us now that we might do that. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for revealing to us the secrets of the kingdom of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that today and every day that we would have great confidence that you are growing your church and that you can grow your church through us. And so therefore I pray that we would listen well and that we would speak and that we would pray and that you, Lord, would be glorified in and through us and through our witness. Amen.